centimeters bone from his thigh, which was exploded, and so he had an implant, and after the operation he was arrested as well.
When did that happen?
That happened, I think, around November. November, December.
How old was that child?
I think he was around 18 years old.
And how young are the children who the Israelis come and arrest?
It goes from 14 and above. So it's even 12 years old were interrogated and so on. But it has been going on, unfortunately, during the past years. But it accelerated with most detentions for young people and children as administrative detention. So it's not like they are charged of anything and they are accused of anything. They are just maybe potential danger and don't know what is this danger, or arrested because of eventual exchange of hostages or prisoners. They would be just released to increase the numbers of people who are released.
And I'm wondering what the impact is of all this on young people. And I was speaking some years ago with the people from Berkeley, University of California, Berkeley, who carried out this health study in Ida.
Yeah.
And they were talking about the boys and the girls. And they were saying that it's, of course, it's very difficult for the boys. But the boys are out on the street. They get to go out and be agents, their own agents. But the girls are indoors,
mostly.
And the culture is such. And so it impacts the girls differently because they're impacted.
They don't go out. Yes, they are forced to stay in most of the time. And most of the families want to protect their children, and mostly the girls. And so they are kept at home, so that they will not be exposed directly to dangers. See, young boys escape one way or the other, the parents control, and get out. But the girls kind of are much more protected than the boys usually.
And what are the psychological impacts for the boys and the girls?
Well, I guess what would be the psychological impact for people who are under continuous oppression and occupation since the day they were born and even before? 75 years have passed and the occupation is uglier than before. What is the impact of a young people who study hard to get a diploma, graduate, get to work, and then they are put in prison or the school is cut off and there is no possibility for people to reach even their school or continue their school year? And look at Gaza. What is the impact when these all universities have been destroyed, all a generation have been put on hold for now the last almost 7 months now, and so on. So the issue is that there is no certitude for young people. You cannot say, well, I will finish my school and then go to university and then go to make my master and PhD. Palestinians value education hugely, and they are among the highest educated people in the world and with highest diplomas compared to ratio population to people with diplomas and so on. So we value our education and we want our children to grow up and change the world and create America and be proud of their achievements and successes. Yet all these dreams are killed little by little because of impossibility for these young people to continue their education. Education is expensive. This is not a free country for education at the university level, because most universities are private, or in fact all of them, and they're struggling to make ends meet also for their employees and so on. So there is lack of this opportunity. There is a huge unemployment rate. There is impossibility for parents to provide for their children. You know, every year since COVID, since 2020, we do what we call it Kiyat Aida. So it's like a restaurant where we cook meals, package them, deliver them to homes. Here in Aida at Ar-Ruwad. We started in 2020 with 11,500 meals during the month of Ramadan. This year we achieved more than 20,000 meals that are packaged and go to the homes in Aida, but also beyond the Aida camp, in other refugee camps, as well as areas in Bethlehem. Because we want to people to be served with respect and dignity. We don't ask people to come and show them and see how amazing we are. We do document what we do, all the cooking and packaging and going to deliver, but not the people who receive, by respect their privacy and intimacy and by respect their needy situation. We ought to show our people in their strength and dignity, not in their weakness and humiliation. And we refuse these fundings that come to make photos of people and so on, because this is dehumanizing. And that's why if people want to donate, they donate for what is done and not just to be blackmailed emotionally with people in need and misery and so on. This is not us, and we cannot show our people in such dehumanizing way. And that's why for us, serve with dignity and respect is important. Show our people with the activities that we do with theater, dance, music, photography, video, supportive education program for children, and so on. Not in situations where they are in weakness and dehumanized with these, throw some crumbs on the table and we have helped these poor miserable people to remain miserable the rest of their lives.
And you have an amazing media center. I came in on Sunday and there was no one here except somebody mopping the floor. Yeah. And I wandered around and I went into your media center and there's a mixing board. I think it's a 24 or 18 channel mixing board and microphones. And,
yeah.
And there was a whole setup with chairs and...
And the program Images for Life, the program Images for Life received some used material donations as well from different partners.
Images for Life.
Images for Life. The idea was how to be not only in front of the camera, but also behind the camera, to show Palestine how we see it, how we dream it, how we hope it will be. Train young people to be journalists, to be media participants, to make radio programs, podcasts, to make hopefully a cinema school and production house for young cinema makers. We are looking for partners on that level as well. And to have our voice heard. Palestinians have been a lot of time manipulated in front of the cameras and their declarations or sayings or images have been deformed and so on. So it was important that we are the ones also who control our own narrative and not be narrated only by others. And so
and it's the Palestinian journalists in Gaza who are telling the story about what's going on in Gaza.
And you see the impact. You see the impact, how it changed the narrative, how people are now in direct emission or transmission of what is happening in Gaza. If these Palestinian journalists have been denied the access to social media, and in some cases they did, and there is a huge control and limitation of diffusion of our media, unfortunately, by these promoters of human rights and freedom of expression and so on. It stops when it comes to Palestine. It stops when it is against this occupation that manipulates the whole world with lies and falsification of what is happening. But we do our part, and a lot have paid their life.
Tell me, how many children come and go through Al-Rawad Center? How many children?
Well, we serve between, let's say, 15 to 20,000 per year all over our programs in Palestine. And in good years, when there is good funding for mobile programs, it goes beyond 50 to 60,000 people.
All
that
up and
includes
down Palestine.
That includes children from kindergartens and above, including about 600 women in the different programs, and so on. Fixed here in the programs like the theater troupe, dance troupe, and so on, we have about 300 kids regularly who come during the week. We have about 80 in the dance groups. We have about 40 in the theater group and of different ages and so on. And the music, hopefully there would be an orchestra also because we are working to make a music program as a school as well.
What sort of orchestra? What are the instruments?
Well, for the moment, there is difficulties in finding anybody to train the wind things. So we have oud, guitar, drums, violin. A challenging position in violin because as well the trainers are not available, and qanun, if you know that, clarinet, but not the copper, how you call them,
wind instruments
and so on.
And the media arts, I mean, are kids going out with
cameras? They are trained in photography. We have direct relation with the activities department in the schools, in governmental schools and on our schools. So we train children on narration, on their media presentation and radio programs and use of mics and so on, how to speak in front of a camera, how to speak in front of microphone as well. And they use that for their morning broadcast in the school.
Do they have a morning broadcast in the school?
Well, they have somebody stands in front of all the children and recites a poem or make a speech or so on. So they are trained how to do public speaking and so on.
You'd think that there might be like Radio Ida, like a closed circuit with a very short distance.
We did that on internet level, but not on air level.
Because
air level,
kids can pick these up on smartphones.
Yeah, because you should have a wavelength allocated that is also both and so on. But the idea is to give these possibilities. It's not about dictating code of behavior or tell children you should do this, you should do that. It's about providing every possibility for these young people. My idea in the beginning was to create a theater group of children, professionally trained, so that they are the stars, they are the ones on stage, they are the ones who tell and shout as loud as they want, hopefully to build their peace within themselves, to be peace builders in their community. But as you know, not everybody wants to do theaters. So that's why we try to expand with dance, with the music, with photo, with supportive education program for children who have trauma or learning difficulties and so on. That continues until today because the situation did not change. In fact, it becomes worse. Working with kindergartens, with the schools, with parents, focusing on mothers, because I believe it's women who change the world much more than the men. So it was important to help these connections of providing possibilities to everybody and serve everybody in the best way we can, so that hopefully this would lead to building our peace within ourselves, to build it in our community and hopefully in the world.
Have you been targeted by the Israeli military?
I don't know if I can say that. Everybody, one way or the other, is targeted. Everybody, one way or the other, is sometimes blackmailed, one way or the other, punished, one way or the other.
Because the Israelis, they don't want, you know, getting back to the idea of resistance, the Israelis, they certainly don't want Palestinians resisting violently, and they don't want them resisting peacefully. They attack journalists, they kill journalists, they attack artists, they jail artists.
In fact,
when
you look at it today, the idea is clear. The idea is to push people out one way or the other, to expel Palestinians, what they call ethnic cleansing, as if we are the dirt that should be cleaned from our own lands and so on, uprooting people from their homes and confiscating lands, try to push people one way or the other through their violent actions, through their punishments, policies, and killing, targeted killing, and so on. The searching for another hosting country to take the Palestinians away, as the Zionist movement was trying to create a homeland for Jews in Argentina, Uganda, Madagascar, and many other spaces, and then calling in Palestine as a country without people for a people without a country, or a land without people for a people without land. Lying that Palestine was not inhabited and so on, while Palestine was a flame of culture and arts and education and cinema. They have artistic entrepreneurs who brought shows, sold tickets and so on. They have artistic cafes which have theater spaces and so on. They were among the first to create cinema in the Arab world with the brothers Lama in the 1880s, who started cinema in Egypt and so on. And many other things that we can talk about that demonstrate that Palestine was, is, and will continue to be, on one side, a land of multiplicity and diversity, but a land of culture, of arts, of agriculture. The oranges of Jaffa were packaged in fine tissue and exported internationally before the invention of Israel. Cinemas were working, airport, Palestinian airport, Palestinian airlines were there, and so on. So targeting people on one side, but also the agenda is completely empty Palestine from its Palestinians to create, as they say, the Jewish state. And if that was only right, because when you talk about Jews, not all Jews are Zionists, not all Jews are Israelis, not all Jews accept or recognize Israel as a state for Jews. The black Jews are treated with racism, even here, in this country that say it's only for Jews. The Arab Jews or Jews of Arab descent are also marginalized one way or the other. Jewish Voice for Peace in the United States and many other organizations do not recognize Israel as representative of their Jewishness and so on. And there is a conflict between Judaism and Zionism, which is a racist movement that even dehumanized Jews in the sense of what they are saying, killing every Palestinian because no Palestinian is innocent. That has been declared by many officials in this Israeli government, actual government, and so on, denying the presence, identity, land of Palestine to Palestinians is declared. It's not hidden agenda anymore. And the atrocities of racism and invitations to kill Palestinians every way and reward those who kill Palestinians by Mr. Smotrich or Ben-Gvir and so on, are, does anybody have declared that against Israelis or whatever, they would be put in jail or killed and so on. But these have free license to do whatever they want, and no punishment, no accountability, as if this will help Israel one way or the other, while it destroys Israel one way or the other.
What does Al-Rawad mean?
Al-Rawad means the pioneers in Arabic, because I guess we were among the first to create a professionally trained children theater group. The Kiyat Aida is an initiative that was the first of its kind in a refugee camp, trying to provide meals, help people with respect and dignity. The Images for Life professional photography and video training program was the first of its kind also, as far as I know, in a refugee camp in Palestine. Palestinian Film Festival, projecting on the wall since 2005, was the first of its kind, as well as an outdoor cinema. And so on. So we have created many programs that were the first of their kind in Palestine or in refugee camps in general, or Palestinian refugee camps in particular.
How can people help?
Well, our programs are free of charge. So my philosophy was, with or without money, we do it, because we want people to consult with us if they want to help us to do what really we want really to do. So a lot of international funding, unfortunately, is conditional, and many are linked on one side to make Palestinians and Israelis work together and everything would be fine, which is something that is not relevant for us, because there is an occupation, and Israelis who are doing amazing work for Palestine should do their homework on their side, and we do our work on our side to build our peace within ourselves to start with and make justice and equality the basis of any relation that can happen. So people can help by being friends of Arwad, by if they have the financial capacity to support Arwad monthly or yearly, that would be most welcome. We have a Friends of Arwad in the United States as a charity, 501c3. We have Friends of Arwad in the UK. We have a group also in Norway and a group in France. So whoever wants contacts and so on, we can give the contacts for these organizations that are partners with Arwad and support Arwad financially by donations. If people have expertise in photography, video, cinema, theater, dance, music, and so on, whatever programs that help make connections, build the bridges, professionally training, welcoming our trainees also in their locations, if they are theaters or cinema producers or whatever, co-produce artistic work together, organize tours for us to tour with our shows also internationally, welcome me or other speakers in different parts of the world to speak about what we do, to tell our Palestinian narrative, and to find ways to build these possibilities among us as human beings.
And come visit Ida. And, I mean, I've walked through Ida on several occasions, and I think that people out there who are listening or watching, they might think, you know, the idea of visiting Palestine is a little scary. The West Bank is scary, but going to a refugee camp, they think it's, forgive me, they might think it's dangerous. But I've never encountered such a welcoming environment.
It is a peaceful space, despite all the oppression that is happening. And I guess we have probably the lowest crimes rate in the world within Palestine compared to the other parts of the world.
It's a very tight-knit community.
It is a very tight community. But also in Aida camp, we have a Arwad guest house also, so we can welcome visitors. And we can welcome delegations. We can also offer meals, so people can support families by paying for the meals that families cook or whatever, or hosted in families and so on. But also, as I said, the professional training in different levels, because arts are magic. When you see a film, when you see a theater play, when you look at a painting or a photo, when you listen to music, when you read a book, I don't think anybody will say, I will not like it because it's a French or Canadian or American or Palestinian. You like, you don't like, based on how much it touches you. So these are the bridges that we can build together. And this is, for me, the importance of arts and importance of artists who have big followers to be truthful and defend what is just and what is right. We can't make compromises. We cannot be silent in front of a genocide that is happening. And even if you love Israel, if you have a friend who is a drug addict or alcoholic and you want to help him or her, what do? Give more drugs, more alcohol, or deprive them from drugs and alcohol to cure them? That's why Israel should be cured from its oppression, from its injustice, from its genocidal mentality, and so on, if people care about really, and not just continue to give them the free license to kill and shoot and say maybe Israel should stop or pray Israel to stop. Israel is not responding to anybody. And that's why it's important for those, and it's great that there are huge Jewish voices in different countries in the world that ask Israel to stop and ask Israel to be sanctioned and punished for all this huge escalation of violence that they are doing and the spirit of revenge that is controlling what they are doing against Gaza and against the West Bank and against the world, in fact.
Thank you very much.
You're most welcome.
Abdel Fattah Abousrouer is the founder and director of Al Rouad Culture and Arts Society and Vocational Training Center in Oida Refugee Camp on the northern edge of Bethlehem. Read more about Al Rouad at greenplanetmonitor.net. That's it for today's special edition of the GPM, a listener-supported podcast coming to you from Earth Chronicle Productions in Palestine. Listen to, read, and watch more Earth stories at greenplanetmonitor.net. Find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube, and our home base, Blueberry. We're also on Facebook and Twitter, and Canada's Harbinger Media Network. Wherever or however you're listening, reading, or watching, please help us make the GPM happen. Subscribe and or donate at greenplanetmonitor.net. By the way, the guy behind this guitar is Dan Weisenberger. Thanks for your fabulous instrumental themes, Dan. I'm David Kattenberg, over and out for now.
I'm Dr. Anthony Lizerwitz, and this is Climate Connections. For farm workers, toiling outside in the summer heat can be dangerous. Extreme heat can lead to headaches, dizziness, and even death. And as the climate warms, the risks will grow.
We all know that record-breaking temperatures are now becoming much more common.
Judge Laura Safer Espinoza helps run the Fair Food Program, a partnership between workers, growers, and more than a dozen large food buyers. The program protects thousands of workers on participating farms from workplace hazards while defending their wages and rights. A few years ago, it added protections against heat stress. From April to November, farm workers now have to take breaks every 2 hours. Espinoza says the mandate prevents people from feeling pressure to keep working even when they need to cool down.
This requires everyone across the field to stop and to rest, to hydrate.
Supervisors also have to watch for any workers who show signs of heat illness and provide them with immediate relief. As the risk of extreme heat grows, these heat stress protections will help keep the workers who are covered by the Fair Food Program safe. Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. To learn more about climate change, visit climateconnections.org. We'll be right back.
Radio Rewind. Now we wait at Radio Rewind. Now we wait at Radio Rewind. Radio Rewind. The following content has previously aired on CJSF. But don't worry, we'll be back next week with fresh content. CJSF 90.1 FM. Diverse, independent, yours.